If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Joshua, please. I sure didn't intend when I started out in Joshua to stay this long, but I have enjoyed following the Lord. I hope you've gotten a little something out of it. I'm going to preach from both chapters tonight, but I'm going to read a text, and it's a familiar text in Joshua 24. Give you a few thoughts tonight. And I want y'all to pray for Miss Eve, because she's going to have to rock me to sleep after a while. Y'all believe that? Amen. Amen, Brother Steve. Brother Steve says no. Just hit him with a little Bengay and turn him loose. Amen. Amen. All right. Joshua chapter 24. Let's begin reading in verse 15. The reading's not real lengthy tonight. We'll get into the message. So if you'll stand with me, please, I'd appreciate that. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. And the Word of God said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a very familiar passage of Scripture. What's not familiar to me, I feel about that big sometimes. I didn't realize that Joshua didn't say this when he was starting on the scene. He says this when he's leaving off the scene. Seems like it would be something you would say when you're coming on the scene. He's got a great confidence, doesn't he? "I'm going to heaven, but my family's going to keep on serving God." Amen. "And the people answered and said, 'God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God.'" Now, this verse here sounds a little bit funny, but I guess Joshua is just laying a test down to them. "And Joshua said unto the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord.'" That's what the devil will tell us, ain't it? But Joshua said it here. He said, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." Now you need to read the next verse. "If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, 'Nay, but we will serve the Lord.' And Joshua said unto the people, 'Ye are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him.' And they said, 'We are witnesses.' Now therefore put away," said He, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard." You know, Jesus talked one time, if you held these people held their peace, He said the rocks would cry out. And here the word of God, Joshua said, this big old rock over here heard what you said, and it's going to be a witness. Watch this now. Hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. If correctly read, that's I think verse 15 down through verse 27. You can be seated. Pray for us, would you please. Our Father, this evening we thank you for the service thus far. Lord, it would be very, very easy to go home right now and just say, you've been among us, you've been good to us, and you've helped us. Father, I pray tonight as we look into the Word of God now for just a few moments, God, that you'll stir our hearts and speak to our hearts. Help us, we do pray. And God, we'll give you glory for all that you do, for we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our soon coming King. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. It's not a trick question. I guess I'm testing your memory a little bit. Does anybody remember the title of the first message that I preached out of the book of Joshua as we started this time around? Does anybody remember the title? Let me give you the first words, and I know you'll learn. You can learn a lot from a pile of rock. That's right, Brother Steve. You can learn a lot. Oh, it was, he's pointing to his secretary. Amen. Amen. You can learn a lot from a pile of rock. And I believe the first lesson had to do with Achan, where they piled those stones up. And then the next lesson came from the king of Ai. They piled those stones up over him. And tonight, what I want to preach on tonight is you can learn a lot from one big rock. This is a great stone, the Word of God said here. And I want to look in chapter 23 and 24 and just leave you a few thoughts tonight in the book of Joshua that I pray will be a blessing. There's much to learn. There's three things here that the Lord in my heart divided these into categories. There's much to learn concerning the Father in these verses. There's much to learn concerning the family in these verses. And there's much to learn concerning the future in these verses that God has given us in these two chapters. Let's slide in, first of all, on the Father. If we read verse number 1 through verse number 5 in chapter number 23. The Bible said it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua's old. Joshua's getting ready to pass off of the scene. We began in the book of Joshua how that Moses, my servant, has died, and God raised up Joshua. And now Joshua, God's servant, is leaving off the scene. You know, when I read this, I think about men like Brother Jack that served God for years and years and years. And one day, Brother Jack left off the scene. Listen, I'm no fool. One day this pastor is going to leave off the scene. But I'm telling you, beloved, we can learn a lot tonight about how to leave out. Amen. And Joshua's given some good instruction tonight as he leaves out. First of all, concerning the Father, Joshua called for all Israel. I like that, don't you? In verse number 2 here, it says Joshua called for all Israel. In verse number 24, Brother Stephen says Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel. Joshua was in the gathering business. Listen, the Bible, I can't remember which one of the prophets, Brother Larry might remember, one of the prophets said, my pastors have scattered the sheep. The pastors have scattered the sheep. God's pastors are not in the scattering business. They're in the gathering business. They're in the calling God's people to gather business. And that's what we see here. He called for all Israel, their elders, their heads, their judges, their officers, and said unto them, I'm old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. What I want you to see concerning the Father, first of all tonight, he's the one that gives the victory. Beloved, none of us can afford tonight to blow up in ourselves and think we're something. I'm telling you, when God gives a family the victory, when God gives a church the victory, it's always God that gives the victory. When God gives a nation, and God knows this nation we live in needs some victory, and it'll take God to give us the victory. Joshua's leaving off the scene, but he said, I want to remind you of something. The Father, He's the one that gives the victory. That night when He saved me, He gave me the victory. Amen. I'm not working for the victory. As Hannah sang tonight, I'm working from the victory that took place at Calvary. Amen. Thank God for the victory that we have through the Father. Number two, I'm not reading all the verses, but if you start in verse number 6, under the Father, He's the one who gives the victory. There's much to learn concerning the Father. He's the one who deserves our loyalty. Look in verse number 6. Be ye therefore very courageous and keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from it to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, and cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Beloved, I'm telling you tonight, Joshua, this great old big stone is set up here for a witness. He said, there's some things I want you to learn concerning the Father. He's the one that gives the victory. He's the one that deserves our loyalty tonight. What Joshua is saying in these verses is what Paul said in Corinthians when he said, come out from among them and be a separate people, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We got no business bowing at another altar. Amen. We have a God in heaven that's our Father tonight, and we ought to be loyal to Him. Then thirdly tonight, if you look in verse 12 and verse 13, there's something else for us to learn here tonight. He's the one that we must fear. In verse number 12 and verse number 13, the Bible said, else if you do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, shall make marriages with them and to go in unto them, and they to you, know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, scourges in your side, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord God hath given you. God is teaching us, beloved, we're not to fear man, but we're to fear God. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. By the way, we need a revival of that in our land. There's too many that don't mind, beloved, listen, to put his name down, to put his book down, to put his church down, and they'll put a bumper sticker on their car that says, no fear. I tell you what we need, a bumper sticker says, fear God. Amen, because that's the beginning of wisdom, the Word of God said. Fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. That's what the Bible said. Joshua's giving them that here concerning the Father. And then in verse number 15 and verse number 16, therefore shall come to pass that as all good things shall come upon you which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things. You know what I believe about Joshua? He's got the proper balance. He understands, beloved, yes, there's a message of grace. There's a message of mercy. There's a message of love that comes from the Father. But friend, there's a message of judgment. Amen. It comes from the Father as well. He said, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Joshua's leaving the scene, but he says, I want you to learn something concerning the Father. Now there's one more thing. I saved this for last, as far as the Father goes. I'm not finished preaching tonight, just as far as the Father goes, and we'll go to the family and the future. But I want you to see this. Look in verse number 14. Joshua's old. He's well stricken in age. He's going to go, the Bible calls it, the way of all the earth. A verse in the New Testament that would line up with that is, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Beloved, the only way I'm going to escape that is the rapture of the church. Amen? If Jesus comes, I won't have to die. I'll just be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But listen tonight. There's one more thing that God wants us to know concerning the Father. Look at verse 14. I think we ought to shout right here. The Word of God said, behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts, in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed. Of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. I tell you, I hope I can remember, beloved, when I'm breathing my last breath, I'll tell you there's times I've failed Him, but there's never been one time in my life that the Lord has failed me. Everything that God has promised His children, not one thing has failed. I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses me. Amen. Nobody can point to a time in their life that God has failed them. You might point to a time where you think He has. Amen. And I can understand that even as a pastor. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's times, if we think He has, our thinking's faulty. Because, beloved, listen to me. Every good and precious gift, perfect gift, comes down from above, from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the Word of God said, and we know, not we're guessing, not we hope so, not we think so. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It reminds me of an illustration I heard years ago. Listen to me. You can take, beloved, lard and put it in your mouth, and it's not good. A tablespoon of flour, put it in your mouth. A teaspoon of baking soda, put it in your mouth. And take a stick of butter and roll it back and bite it off. You put that in your mouth. Amen. It's no good. But you mix it all up with a little bit of buttermilk and put it in the oven, and you'll get a biscuit. And God's mixing it all up. One day it's coming out of the oven. And you know what the word's going to be to describe it? Perfect. Perfect. We're going to be like Christ. Whatever's coming in and out of our lives, though we don't understand it, we'll be able to say on that day, if we can't say it today, He's never failed. Not one time has the Lord ever failed. We can learn a lot from one big rock. There's much to learn concerning the Father. Let me hurry. Then there's much to learn concerning the family. First of all, look in verse 24 and verse 15. That's where we started reading tonight. In chapter 24 and verse 15, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. I want to say this concerning the family. There was a choice. There was a choice. There's folks running around in the world today, and they've misinterpreted the Word of God. And they're saying in salvation, there's no choice. In the family, there's no choice. In service, there's no choice. Beloved, there is a choice. We can't do anything without Him. But I'm telling you, I serve a Father tonight that doesn't force Himself on folk. He'll knock at the heart's door. And He'll knock, beloved, listen, for sin. He'll knock for service. He'll knock for different reasons in our lives that we might surrender. But I'm telling you tonight, He's a gentleman. He'll knock, but He won't knock the door down. I always used to tell the guys in prison, they all knew what the battering ram was. That's that great old big piece. I reckon it's metal and it might be filled with concrete. But you got two guys normally that'll get a hold of it. And there's not a door on this place, Brother Houston, that would stand a chance. If they want to hit that door lock or that door hinge, honey, that thing's coming off the hinges. It's coming open. Amen. But the Lord don't operate that way. He just knocks. And when we open the door, He'll come in and do what needs to be done. Amen. I appreciate that about Him. There was a choice. But then, if you'll notice, there was a confidence. I touched on this a while ago when I read it. Joshua's not just getting started. Joshua's finishing up. When he says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Wouldn't it be good, Brother Ralph, if I can leave this world knowing that my wife and children are going to go on and serve God? Amen? I'm telling you, that's the confidence that Joshua had. He saw something in his family. And I believe many of us have a family like that. We know that, listen, what they have is not some facade, but it's real. It's deeper than just the surface. It's something in their heart to go on and serve God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, there's another way you could look at that. You say, preacher, Joshua's getting close to the end. Well, why change now? If you've only got a day left, why would you change now? If you've only got an hour left, why would you change now? If you've only got a few minutes left, why would you change now? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then there was a challenge here in the Scripture. And the people, the Bible said here, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Listen to me tonight. I believe this is a worthy goal. I believe when we're breathing our last breath, if we've done what we should, our life will be a challenge to somebody else. In my life, I've never had a problem. As a matter of fact, it's always been easy. Brother Junior, for me to admire older men of God, I've just, ever since I've been saved, I've just had a special place. The Don McCanns, the Billy Mitchells, the people that just have blazed that trail and went on in front of me. Amen. I've always admired them and held them in highest honor. And one of the things when we have to bury one of them that's always come to my mind is they made it. They went all the way from the way to the finish line and stayed true to God. And when I attend a funeral like that, God says to me, down in my spirit, you can make it. It challenges me. Stay by the stuff. Hey, I'm not changing Bibles. Amen. I'm not tearing the blood out of the songbook. I hope we keep singing about the blood of Jesus and the blessed assurance that you can only get through the blood of Jesus. Not going the modern way. It's not time for rock and roll. Amen. These lives where men have stood true challenge me. I had a man say something to me the other day. And I tell you what, I've got a determination down in my heart to prove it wrong. I can't even remember who said it. So if you're sitting here and you said it, don't take offense. But here's what somebody said. You can't have a youth group without a gymnasium. That's what they said to me. They said it to the wrong person, Brother Steve. I'm telling you, that Bible was around a long time before a gymnasium was around. Our youngins was around a long time before a gymnasium was around. I'm not against activities, don't you get me wrong. But to make a statement like that, you can't have a youth group, that'd be like saying you can't have a church without a fine building. I take this bunch out there on the hillside, say amen, and we'll worship God sitting in the grass if we have to. It's not about a building. It's about a builder. It's God that builds lives. It's God that builds our Sunday school classes. It's God that builds our church. I believe we'll see that young couple that came this morning back, even though I picked on Eric from the pulpit. I believe they'll come back. Seemed like they were very interested. Brother Steve, matter of fact, see me about getting that number. I've got it on my phone, and I told them I wanted to introduce them to you next week. I can't do that, can I? You're gone next week. Here it is Sunday. I lied on Sunday. It'd be better to lie on Monday, wouldn't it? No. I'm just kidding, Brother Steve. I forgot that you're going to be gone. Amen. But you can call them and tell them that I didn't lie, that Pastor just don't have much mind left. Amen. 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 I've got the number. And so we see that here it was a challenge. Now let me give you this concerning the future, and I think you'll be blessed by it. Here's this rock. It's one big old rock, a great stone. Now, I don't even believe that's something like I carried in here that night. I mean, I think this is something big. Brother Steve's been using that word concerning the Bible school. We want it to be big. And I like that. Amen. Let's go all out for God. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. I love these children, these youngins. They're precious to me. Watch this now concerning the future. What's this rock have to say concerning the future? First of all, I want to give you something. I'm not going to read all the text, but if you'll read verse 1 through verse number 12, Joshua recites, he reviews, he goes back over the rich heritage or the rich history of the people of God. Beloved, I'm going to make a statement right here. We're making a bad mistake in our education system in America when we're trying to erase our history. I'm telling you, listen, there's black marks in our history. There's black marks in my family's history. There's black marks in my history. But we learn from our history. If we forget our history, we repeat the same mistakes. A lot of that's going on today. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, when we had a black president in the White House, you listen to me, there was an opportunity to do what needed to be done in this country. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about promote the family. I'm telling you, when you go to prison, 9 out of 10 of those men were raised with a mama or an aunt or a grandmama. There was not a mother and a father in the same household. The percentages of people going to prison and getting in trouble go way down when the family looks like what the family's supposed to look like in the Word of God. It don't matter if it's black families or white families, but I'm telling you, we had a president that had an opportunity and a platform to address that and say, right here is the problem, without being called a racist. You say, Pastor, they'll call you a racist for saying what you said. Well, you can call me a Bible preacher. God still loves the family. God still intends for one man and one woman, not one man and one man or one man and one woman to raise children for the glory of God. That's God's plan. And so he recites their rich history, their heritage, in verse 1 through verse number 12. I hope you'll go home and read that tonight. But then, watch this. He points to their rich inheritance. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse number 13. This blessed my soul. One lady said, Pastor, you preach your socks off. Well, this blessed my socks off. Amen. Watch verse 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor. You say, now, Pastor, where's your heart and mind go right there? Here's where it goes. Boy, I wish I could sing, Brother Junior. There's a land that's fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. The sweet by and by. Guess what? We're headed to a land for which we did not labor. The Word of God said, Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am. No wonder that Peter, turn over to Peter just a moment. First Peter. No wonder Peter could say what he said here. Listen to what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Hallelujah! Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Joshua's leaving the scene. This big old rock, this big stone that Joshua was talking about here, we're learning about our heritage. We're learning about our inheritance. I appreciate that. A land for which you did not labor. Watch this now. And cities which you built not. I tell you what, it's impossible, amen, for a man to write this down and it be as prophetic as it is for the children of God. I'm headed for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I tell you what, you say whatever you want to, but when we get home, there won't be no bragging on us. We're going to be bragging on Him. We're going to be blessing Him, worshiping Him. Amen. What a day. What a glorious day that'll be. And then there's one more thing, and I'm finished. The Word of God records here a stern warning. I read it a while ago when you're hearing in verse 16 on down through the chapter there. And I'm telling you, listen tonight. We're living in a generation that does not want a pastor or a teacher or a mother or a father to warn. But Joshua is a man of God. He is sounding the warning. Folks, listen, this stone, this great stone right here is a witness that you just said you're not going to serve them other gods. You're not going to bow to them other gods. You're going to serve the Lord, for He is God. And if you do, he said, the same God that was good to you will judge you. In other words, this same land that He's given you, beloved, He'll take away from you. We can learn a lot from one big rock. And I believe tonight that God wants us to know some things concerning the Father, concerning the family, and concerning our future as the people of God. Someone said one time, my future is only as bright as the Son of God. That's pretty bright. Say amen. Matter of fact, I don't know if you can get any brighter than that. Amen. What was that in the Sunday school lesson we talked about? This was from Brother Brian, and the Lord let me remember. Well, I actually had to look them up in the book of Acts. Paul started out, he said it was a light from heaven. And then he said it was a great light. And then he said it was a light that was above the brightness of the sun. I don't know about you tonight, but that blesses my heart. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.